Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5. When I speak to you for a few minutes about remembering our first love. The Bible says there unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help our hearts and our minds to be able to focus and be attentive and listen to what you want to speak to our heart about. Challenge us from your word, please. We need you so much. We don't want to neglect you. Speak to us, I pray. Amen. Have you ever heard about someone who would maybe go and tie a string up to their finger to try to help them remember something? Or maybe someone that's, I've seen some kids do it before, go and write notes on their hands. You know, take pen and everything, write notes on their hands. Maybe you did that to help you remember something. Hopefully kids don't do it during a test though, right? You know, writing on their hands and bringing it out. People will do all kinds of things to help them remember something. When God wanted us to remember something, He wrote it for us in His Word. He's given us His Word, and He writes down what He wants, some things He wants us to remember. These verses in Revelation chapter 2 were written to the church at Ephesus, talking about the church at Ephesus. The city of Ephesus was an urban city of the Roman Empire, a big city for that time, obviously, a cosmopolitan city, many classes of people, and ethnicities of people. It was the location of the Temple of Diana, one of the seven wonders of the world. The church at Ephesus was a center for world evangelism during the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It was the only church to receive letters from two different apostles, from both Paul and John. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we've got the letters to the seven churches. The churches are referred to as candlesticks, And the pastors were called stars. Notice what it says in chapter number 1, Revelation chapter 1, and beginning in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, it's referring to Jesus Christ, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of snow, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven gold candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches. The Bible says that he holds the seven stars in his hand. These stars are referred to as messengers. They were the pastors of the seven churches. It's possible that messengers came to John from these churches and received, you know, this writing from John. Maybe they came and received it personally. The stars, though, are the messengers. And the Bible says Christ holdeth his servants, holdeth them in his hands. They look to Christ as the head. In Revelation chapter 2, we see a church that the Bible says about Ephesus, they had lost their first love. They had lost their first love. In Corinthians 13, it says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. It says in Corinthians, you know, it talks about how there's that missing thing of love. How people could have a tongue where they could speak like an angel, a tongue where they could speak as the finest of men. But if they don't have love, then it's just like a sounding brass. It's just like a tinkling cymbal. They could have the gift of prophecy. They could have great knowledge. They could have many things. They could have great faith. But if they have not charity, it's just like a big zero. It's nothing. They have nothing because they're lacking something. They're lacking love. The Bible said here that the church of Ephesus had lost their first love. I want you to notice a few things quickly here about this church at Ephesus here in chapter 2 and verse number 2. Notice first how the Lord begins to compliment them. He compliments them. He says some good things to them and about them. It says in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. See, he compliments them on some things. He says, hey, you were a caring church. You were a caring church. I know your works. I know that you've been a serving church. You've been a working church. You've been busy. You've been occupied in working for the Lord. I know thy labor. I know thou hast labored. I know what you've done. You've labored maybe to the point of weariness. You've grown tired in your labor. You've labored and you've done it for me. You've done it for the Lord. You've done it for God. And he says, I know your works. I know your labor. Hey, you're a caring church. You've been a working church. You've been a laboring church. The church of Thessalonica as well was one that the Bible had talked about them in their work and their labor of love. No doubt this was a church that had loved the Lord, evidently loved the Lord, that they worked for the Lord. They labored for the Lord. And God compliments them about that. Somebody said this, the early church was marked by a missionary zeal as seen in the house-to-house witness for Christ, seen in the missionary journeys of Paul, seen in the fervent witnesses of men and women like Stephen and Philip and Ananias and Barnabas and Priscilla and Aquila. The church at Ephesus was a beehive of Holy Spirit-directed activity. David Brainerd said this, I care not where I go or how I live or what I endure so that I may save souls. When I sleep, I dream of them. When I awake, they are first in my thoughts. You know, the early church, and this church at Ephesus, it was a church that had loved God. It was a church that had loved the Lord. It was a church that labored. It was a church that worked, and they were known for that. And God complimented them about that. It also said there in verse 3, I know thy patience. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. They withstood resistance from the Jews and the pagans concerning their faith. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10 tells us this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We're in the same way. We're challenged to be like that. These are a church that had patience. This was a church that withstood. This was a church that had endured many things. They were a caring church. They wouldn't have done what they did unless they had obviously loved God and loved the Lord. Zoe, look right here. They loved the Lord. They were a caring church. Secondly, they were a contending church. It goes on and it talks about their works and labor of love and patience. But then, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And then verse 6, but this hast thou, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, God says. Here was a church that was willing to contend for truth. Here was a church that was willing to contend for the faith. Here was one that would speak the truth and maybe expose those that were not speaking the truth. They hated those that were false apostles or false prophets or those that would try to turn people from the truth. It talks about the Nicolaitans in verse 6. The Nicolaitans were ones that were tried to be rulers of the people, if you will, were maybe an outside influence, an outside hierarchy, if you will, would maybe try to usurp a third authority or to try to rule over the church in something that was not theirs to do. Maybe an outside influence trying to take authority over the local church. And they contended against that. They said, that's not right. That's not biblical. Christ is the only head of the church, and those in the church and the leadership of a church and a local church will answer to God. There shouldn't be outside influence or hierarchy. They stood against evil. They stood against apostasy. The Corinthian church was completely opposite to this. The church at Corinth got in trouble because they allowed a lot of sin in the church. They allowed believers to go on just living in open sin and doing nothing about it and taking the Lord's Supper unworthily, and many things were a shame. But this church here at Ephesus, God commends them and say, hey, you were a caring church and you were a contending church. You wouldn't allow things that were evil. You stood up for right. That's a good thing. And God commends them for it. God compliments them for it. This church was commended because it wasn't tolerant of false doctrine or false teachers. It wasn't tolerant of imposters who would claim apostolic authority. Since John was the last living apostle of the first century, it would be those who perhaps would make false claims like the Gnostic gospel writers did. God commended this church. God complimented this church for some good things. But you know, without love, having lost their first love, there was still something greatly missing. There was something greatly missing. They were a caring church, and they were a contending church. They were a consistent church. Verse number 3, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. They just kept on. They kept on. They didn't labor. They didn't faint in their labor. They didn't faint in their working for God. They struggled on. They were faithful for the sake of Christ. They kept on even when they were weary. That's a good thing. And God comes to them and he's about to drop the hammer. But he says, boy, you're a caring church. I know your works and I know your labor. I know your patience. I know how you contend and don't like those things that are evil. You won't tolerate that. You won't allow that. I know how you've just kept on. You've been consistent. You've been faithful. For my name's sake, thou hast labored and hast not fainted. You've endured testings and so on. So the Lord compliments them. But then I want you to notice something else of how the Lord was actually very concerned when we get to verse 4. The Lord was very concerned. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They had lost their first love. They had lost their excitement about the resurrection. They had lost somehow some of the love for Christ, or the love of Christ was missing in all that they were doing. You know how Corinthians talked about how, you know, you could do this and you could do that and you could speak right and all kinds of things, but if you don't have love, something's missing. It's really nothing. And the whole chapter of Corinthians is incredible. That's kind of what it was like for the church at Ephesus. They had a lot of good things that the Lord could compliment them about. They labored. They cared. They showed patience. They contended for right. But they were missing love. They were missing love. They'd lost their first love. Their passion was less than it used to be. I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Their passion was less than it used to be. Ephesians 1:15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in Jesus, in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. You know, anytime a person has a first love, it's always filled with zeal and excitement. When a person's first in love, they're excited. But if that love lessens, things can become mundane, things can become old habit, things can become unexciting. First love is always exciting. First love always has zeal. First love always has passion. And what happened? This church had let their love grow cold. They'd lost their first love. Here's what some people think that love is, Eric. Carl, age 5 years old, said this: love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Is that what you do, Dennis? You and Emily? Yeah. Chrissy, age 6. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Terry, age 4, said love is what makes you smile when you're
when you're tired. Danny, age 7, said, love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Listen, first love's always exciting. First love is woo-hoo-hoo. You know, when a person's first in love, they've got a passion for someone. They've got a passion for someone else. But when that passion lessens, if that person does not keep that first love, there's trouble. And that's what the Lord said about the church at Ephesus. Boy, you do so many things good. I know you're a caring church. I know you contend for truth and right, and you won't put up with things that are false or evil. I know that you labor and you work hard, but you're missing something. You're missing love. You've lost your first love. When a person loses their first love, often their passion has lessened. Their passion is not what it used to be. Their passion is not what it ought to be. This church at Ephesus, you know what? Their serving God was no longer with joy. It was just with drudgery. It was just a duty that they were performing. There's a song that sometimes we'll sing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Come thou fount of every blessing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And you know what? That's going to be the natural tendency of the human heart. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. If we are not constantly working to maintain our love with God and our love relationship with Him, we can so easily just let things become cold, passionless. Jesus said, I have somewhat against this church. He compliments them, but says, I have something against you. You've left your first love. Listen, we should not have to serve God out of duty, but because we love Him. Now, sometimes we may need to serve God out of duty, and go right ahead. We should serve Him out of duty. But listen, our greatest motivation for serving the Lord ought to be out of love, and because we love Him, don't lose that love for Him. We don't want to lose our first love. Corinthians 5:14 says, the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ, when we think about the love of Christ and what He's done for us, it constraineth us to serve Him. And when we keep ourselves in love with Christ, it'll constrain us. Listen, don't lose your passion for serving the Lord. Don't lose your passion for pleasing the Lord in your life. When you begin to lose your passion, when you begin to leave your first love, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. We need to constantly work to maintain our love and not leave our first love. What had happened? Their passion was diminishing. Their passion was lessening. Their passion was lessening. Their witness was diminishing. Their witness was diminishing. In verse 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. And do the first works. Their witness was diminishing. What's one of the first works that a saved person will want to do when they've experienced the love of Christ and they're saved? You know what a child will want to do? They'll enjoy telling somebody else that they got saved. They'll enjoy that. But you know what can happen when a person loses their first love? They stop doing the first works. They're not as excited as maybe they once would have been about telling somebody else about what Jesus Christ had done for them. There's not that passion to witness anymore. There's not that really that desire like there ought to be to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and the gospel and what He did to save you. Their witness was diminishing. They had left their first love. They were neglecting the first works. The first works. Their witness was diminishing. Why? Because of their lack of love. They were fallen. Their light was diminished. First love is that love we had for Jesus Christ when we were first saved. Listen, those of us who are saved, the death of Jesus Christ means something to us. For those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, the death on the cross and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that means something awful special to us. But if we stop thinking about that and we stop remembering what Christ has done and we begin to lose our first love, our passion lessens. Our enjoyment in serving Christ lessens. Our passion to do the first works lessens and diminishes. Our light diminishes. Our witness diminishes. New Christians are generally
some of the most excited, some of the most willing to serve, some of those who love the most to get involved and so on. But if they allow their passion to lessen, their love to grow cold, they're in trouble. Someone said this, a wife or husband may remain faithful and may give evidence of careful attention in matters pertaining to each other. And yet there may be a decline in first love. In a similar way, a church member may be very regular in their attendance at the services, but no amount of activity, however intense, can compensate for a lack of love. You know what? We could just go through the motions and go through the motions, but if we're losing our love, we're in big trouble. If we're neglecting our first love, if we're removing ourselves from our first love, we're in big trouble. How's your love relationship with the Lord? Have you lost your first love? Oh, you may be able to say, well, I do this. I go to church. Well, that's fine, but have you lost your first love? Well, I do whatever. You know, I do this for the Lord. I do this work, or I do that, or I, you know. Well, have you lost your first love? You know, I didn't really ask, like, you know, do you sing in the choir, or do you go to church, or do you go to a Bible study, or do you clean the building, or do you? That's fine, because we can do it every week, but this have lost our first love. We can do it every week, but yet have a heart that's growing cold all the time. I don't want that. I want what we do for Christ to be out of a heart of love. Let's not lose our first love. Let's not neglect our first love. Don't neglect it. Don't lose it. We need to remember our first love. Remember our first love. Their witness was diminishing. Lack of love. Lessening of service. Lessening of love. As a marriage starts off, so does our relationship with Christ. There was a husband that was having surgery, and so they gave him anesthesia. They gave him that stuff to kind of, you know, knock you out, make you all delirious, and kind of make you so you don't experience all the pain. And he was coming out of his anesthesia, and his wife was sitting by him at the bedside, and his eyes kind of opened up a little bit, and he said, you're beautiful. And then he kind of went back off again. And then later he woke up again and he said, you're cute. And she said to him, what happened to beautiful? And he said, well, the drugs are wearing off. The drugs are wearing off. You know what? Many Christians start with a lot of excitement, don't they? But then it just starts to wear off. Oh, we started well, and we started with excitement, and we started with passion, and we started with love, but now it's just kind of, not because we have to, or because somebody's expecting me to, or somebody's making me to. When we, and you got to be honest with yourself, when we're losing our first love, when we're neglecting our first love, we're in trouble inside. We're in trouble spiritually. We're in trouble internally. Matthew 24:12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Sometimes because of the iniquity, sometimes because of different things, the love of people grows cold. 2 Timothy 4:10 said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. What happened to Demas? I don't know. You know, what happened? I don't know, but somewhere along the line, his love for God began to lessen. His love began to diminish. His passion began to diminish to the point where one day he'd forsake Paul, he'd leave Paul, he'd go no longer with Paul. Why? Somehow his love was growing cold. It says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Just like a husband or wife can stop serving their spouse with the same love and joy and excitement that they did when they were first bride and groom. Listen, it's possible that Christians can lose their joy and lose their love and lose their excitement in serving Christ if we're not careful to try to maintain that first love. Don't lose that first love. We need that first love. That first love, that sweetness that there was in being saved and knowing what Jesus Christ had done for you, and you were all in love with Jesus. Don't lose that first love.
Don't lose that first love. Beg God. Ask God to give you that first love back. Do what is necessary to stir up that love in your heart and life. The Lord commends them. The Lord says some good things about them. He compliments them about some things, but then he says, whoa, hold on. Hold on. And he really condemns them in essence because of one big problem. They lost their first love. They lost their first love. And then here's the Lord's counsel. The Lord's counsel to the church at Ephesus. Look at verses 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And repent. And do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Do you remember where you used to be? Do you remember how it used to be? Do you remember the love that you used to have? Do you remember how you used to enjoy reading your Bible? Do you remember how you used to enjoy going to church? Do you remember how exciting it was when somebody first asked you or told you that, hey, you can sing in the choir, or you can teach a Sunday school class, or you can do this, or you can do that. And at one point, it's, wow, I get to do that. And it was going to be so exciting. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember what your passion used to be. Remember how your first love used to be like. We need to remember. Remember. I encourage you to remember what the Lord has done for you. The Bible says in Psalm 105, remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Psalm 143, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. Hey, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Remember how he died on the cross, gave his life and shed his blood to be your Savior. Remember the thrill that you had when you first heard the gospel. Remember what it was like when you began to have people that shared with you truth, whether you heard it someplace, whether you heard it in church or in Sunday school, whether a friend shared with you the gospel. However it was, the different ways that you began to first hear the gospel and a light began to come on and you began to understand the gospel, understand the truth, and remember the time when you trusted Jesus Christ and you put your faith in him. Remember that. Remember when you love the Bible. Do you love God's Word like you used to? Or have you started to neglect it? Remember. Remember. We must remember. And we must repent. We must repent. There needs to be a change of heart. There needs to be a change of attitude. There needs to be a change of direction. If the reality is that in our life we've gotten to the place where we would know and we could be honest with God, I've lost my first love. I no longer do the first works. I no longer spend time with God like I used to. I no longer love reading my Bible like I used to. I'm missing the passion that I used to have. My works are lessening, or my passion's lessening, or I know my love is lessening. Hey, what we need to do is repent. Get it changed. Ask God to change your heart. Ask God to change your attitude. Ask God to change your direction. The result of this repentance is a return to the first works, works of love. You know what, a lot of people in our churches hate evil, but we're not loving the Lord like we should. Oh, the church at Ephesus, oh, God could commend them because they hated evil and they stood for truth. But are we missing love? Are we loving the Lord like we should? Are we loving the lost like we should? If we're to repent and get busy again with the first works. We don't want dead and dry and just a duty-bound service to God. We want service for Christ and love for the lost and so on that comes from a passion of for God. We want what we do to be because we have a love for Christ, because the love of Christ constraineth me. If you've lost that first love, hey, repent. Remember what it used to be. Ask God to change your heart, change your attitude, change your direction. We need that passion back for God. Think about when you were first saved. Think about some of the sweetness you used to enjoy.
You know what David had to say after he'd sinned and done wrong? He said in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." After David had sinned, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." David had to repent and get right with God. He wasn't right. And he knew something was missing. Listen, if you want that joy back, if you want that passion back, if you want that enjoyment for the things of Christ back, God's advice is remember. Remember from whence thou art fallen. And repent and do the first works. Do the first works. You want to get that first love back? Okay. Get back into the Bible. You want to get that love back? Spend time talking to the Lord. Spend time in prayer. You want to get that first love back again? Start maybe praying for somebody that's lost and asking God to give you an opportunity to witness to them. You want God's help in going back to the first works and caring about somebody that's lost and being a witness to them. Let's not lose our love for Christ. We can have all the form and all the polish, and we can try to make everything look good, but if we're missing our first love, we're in big trouble. Let's remember from whence thou art fallen and repent. Ask God to change our hearts. Let's not lose our love and our passion for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,